Down on the Strip, and I'm Brock Radke, entertainment writer at the Las Vegas Sun, here to get you caught up on all the news and fun this week from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. We are now officially 1 year away from the arrival of the NFL in Las Vegas, with the Oakland Raiders relocating to the new $1.9 billion, 65,000-seat dome stadium in time for the 2020 football season. Some big news this week as the more than halfway finished stadium had its topping out ceremony by placing the final steel beam during construction. But more importantly was the reveal of the company that has purchased the naming rights. It's going to be Allegiant Stadium, thanks to a huge partnership with the Las Vegas-based Discount Airline. Joining me today to discuss is Las Vegas Sun Managing Editor Ray Brewer. First of all, Ray, I want to go back in time and congratulate you once again on the incredibly successful annual Sun High School Football Media Day you helped put together just a couple weeks ago. That thing's always a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We'll be in here talking high school sports in the same podcast studio pretty
soon.
That's
right. Yeah. That's right. Was there a lot of talk at that event about just about the Raiders and about the stadium? Is the prep sports community in Las Vegas fired up about this?
So I think what the Raiders have done with high school sports is they've gone out and they've been very generous to schools, right? So they've got, you know, they've paid to get signage out at stadiums. Recently at Valley High School, which is in the middle of the city, doesn't have many resources. They bought a bunch of cleats and other equipment. So the one thing about the Raiders, I've always just been amazed of how they've come in right away, rolled up their sleeves, and got working with charity in the community. So from that aspect, I think folks are fired up.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Suns' Justin Emerson had a really cool story this week that you could still read at LasVegasSun.com about a Vegas native who's a plumber, and he's been working on the stadium project for months now, and he's just crazy excited to be a part of something that's going to have such a tremendous impact on his city. I know you, of course, are also a true Las Vegan. I know you went to UNLV, so I know you're excited about seeing the Rebels play football at Allegiant Stadium next season. What's it been like for you to watch this thing go up and kind of imagine its potential?
Yeah, I think, like many folks, you drive on the I-15, right? And day by day, it you could see the growth. And you know, you go back to my childhood and we'd go down to Sam Boyd Stadium and watch UNLV football play. And there was always those rumblings of, wouldn't it be cool if UNLV had a campus stadium, right?
Mm-hmm.
How would it change the program? And now, next season when they kick off, you know, a year from now, they'll have that. And it's a, you know, beautiful $1.9 billion stadium. And it's really going to change the face of UNLV. And when you think about it, it brings UNLV up to par with a Power 5 conference. And there's always talk of expansion. And I think this legitimately now puts UNLV in the conversation to go to like a Pac-12 or a Big 10 or a Big 12. Mm-hmm. And what that would do would just be awesome for the city, because now you're getting a ton of money and it would change the university academically. So, you know, there's so many layers to how cool the stadium is that, you know, it's going to be pretty cool, man.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, obviously people are talking about the Raiders a lot. People are talking about other events that are going to be held at this stadium. We know there are already Pac-12 championship games scheduled for the next couple of years here, in addition to the Las Vegas Bowl. But I feel like the Rebel football program hasn't been talked about that much, so it's good to kind of shine a spotlight on that aspect of this project.
In fact, they always call, and you know, if you have a story about the stadium, you're like, yeah, the Raiders' new stadium, they're like, hey, we're playing in that too. Can you make sure we're included in there? And then yesterday, Justin on Twitter had this great photo. It was an American flag, a state of Nevada flag, and a Raiders flag. Mm-hmm. And folks were like, what's going on? Should UNLV feel slighted? So you could see, but I mean, they're just happy to get in the stadium.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have had it done if the Raiders wouldn't have put up the money and went to the state to get the money. And the Raiders wouldn't have had it happen if they didn't have UNLV to have the lawmakers to approve the hotel tax.
Right. Now, when the home of the Vegas Golden Knights was built right on the strip, obviously T-Mobile grabbed the naming rights for that arena facility. Do you think it's a big deal for locals that a local company, Allegiant, which is actually the ninth largest commercial airline in the country, I didn't know it was ranked that high. Do you think it's a big deal that it's putting its name on our football stadium instead of like a big international conglomerate?
You know, I think if you look at other naming rights across the nation, like Pittsburgh plays at Heinz Field, right? Heinz Ketchup, a big local Pittsburgh company, and it just has that more hometown feel. The one thing with Allegiant, more power to them because they're helping bring notoriety to their company. But I don't know how many locals like claim this business is ours.
Right.
So I don't know what, like, because every stadium has got a nickname, right? Think about where New Mexico basketball plays. They play in the Pit. Well, not many people realize that was bought by Wise Pies, right? A big pizza chain. And so it's technically called Wise Pies Arena, but everybody still calls it the Pit. So they didn't get good value off their money.
Sure.
So I wonder what we're going to call this stadium. It's like, hey, are we going to go over to Allegiant? Or, hey, I meet you at Allegiant. Or I just don't know what we're going to call it.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I worry about is you look at like where the Houston Astros played. That thing went from Minute Maid Park to Enron. It's changed repeatedly.
Right.
And so hopefully Allegiant has the money to continue this out, because I'd hate for it to be a 5-year thing and then we got to flip the name. And I just want there to be some kind of consistency.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I was just in Seattle a few days ago and driving past CenturyLink Stadium, and I didn't realize, but they call it the Clink.
Oh, do they?
C-Link. I guess that's kind of catching on, but CenturyLink isn't really happy about that. So they're doing everything they can to make sure people use the full name.
Let me ask you this. Was yesterday the topping off ceremony or the topping, what did you call it?
I think it was the topping off.
Yeah. Off? Yeah. Or is it also topping on? Or
well, I don't think the top is on.
Okay.
I think just in regards to the stadium, I think the thing I'm most curious about is how game day and event day traffic at Allegiant Stadium is going to affect the Strip, and not just in the way that's obviously going to create some really big weekends for Vegas, which already has so many big weekends throughout the year, but really like how people move around during those days and weeks, and which casinos and businesses they patronize, and you know, just what that feels like when there's something happening at the stadium. What's your biggest question about how, just about this stadium in general, how it's going to work?
I mean, I think I'm worried about how am I going to get there? Mm-hmm. You know, what time do I have to leave? Where am I going to park? You know, will I even want to attempt to go up on this trip during the weekend of a game where we know there's going to be a lot more people? It could be more hectic. So there's a lot of questions that are going to have to be answered. I really like some of the alternative plans they have for parking. Like for me, if you got a shuttle going from the Orleans and I could go up like Flamingo and sneak behind the Palms and park it like the back of the Orleans and take a shuttle and avoid it altogether, I'm in. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great idea. And, you know, there's, 30 NFL teams. So we're going to join a pretty exclusive fraternity, and game days or game weekends, the amount of revenue pouring into town for, you know, folks that rely on tips for the shows, it's going to be transformational for the city, and I think that's pretty cool. So whatever hiccups there are or an adjustment period for us locals, I think is well worth its weight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we know Vegas and the Strip, there's no place that handles big events like this better than us. So just to see how the Strip capitalizes on that traffic and creates new events and parties and peripheral things to take advantage of that is going to be very exciting to see. Football question. Do you think the Raiders are going to need to win right off the bat to endear themselves to local fans, or do you think people in Las Vegas are just going to be so happy to have this team that there's going to be a little cushion there?
Well, I think that it's tough because when we had this conversation, whether it was on this show or just offline about the Golden Knights, mm-hmm. I would have told you, hey, they're going to have to do something to win. And it turns out they just had, you know, a perfect chain of events, and now they're our team. And the cool part is that it wasn't an expansion team or a team that relocated. It was, it's our team, right? And so with the Raiders, I still think folks are going to have allegiance to their NFL teams because there's this passion about the NFL. But I think when push comes to shove, you'll be able to like, you know, the Seahawks and the Raiders because we love Las Vegas. And here's a team that's going to be out there playing every week, and Las Vegas is going to be on the scoreboard. And I think when those lights flip on, I think residents are going to want to be better than another city because we have such pride in living here. So I think that we're going to be all in regardless. But, of course, if they would just come in and make a huge splash, they'd have that Golden Knights feel where, you know, Stanley Cup playoff viewing parties and people are crying and hugging. Could you imagine 8 viewing parties at, like, the downtown event center a year for the Raiders and folks are all in and they want to see it? We have the potential to do that. And the Raiders are doing everything to get in our good graces. So it's just a matter of them getting here. But yeah, it'd be awesome if they could win a few games. And I would imagine those initial games at home, they got a great chance to win because everybody's just going to be so emotional, and it's going to resemble like a Golden Knights game. Yeah. And then are you going to have the Vegas flu? Right?
Right. Yeah, that will be a very intense ailment in the NFL.
And I actually think the Rebels, because the Rebels play the first game, in the first official real game in that stadium, they host Cal. And I would have suspected a historic event, a lot of folks are going to want to go to that, especially because tickets are going to be significantly cheaper. I would think the Rebels have a chance to win that first game as well.
Definitely. Yeah, that is going to be a historic occasion for sure. Ray Brewer, always a pleasure, my friend. Thanks for being here.
I love being on your show. Thanks, man.
In other Vegas attraction-y news, the roller coaster at the Circus Circus Adventure Dome is up and running again. El Loco, which originally opened as a renovated ride in 2014 and had been shut down since March of this year when a woman was ejected from her seat during the ride, is open for business once again. The Adventure Dome theme park is still on summer hours for the rest of this week, open every day from 10 a.m. until midnight. The Strat has unveiled a portion of its casino remodel near the front entrance and the new Boulevard and Main Tap House restaurant and bar and view lounge. It's called the Link Slot Lounge. It's a partnership with Aristocrat Technologies and features 44 games in a 2,346 square foot space with a very modern design, including these crazy triangular mirrors hung from the ceiling that form these sort of light box structures. It's a really different look for the Strat. The total space of the finished casino floor remodel project is a little over 10,000 square feet and has 236 total machines. And the entire casino, 80,000 square foot casino floor, will be fully remodeled by the end of the year. And the Venetian has unveiled a redesign of its pool deck, inspired by the Italian Riviera and going for kind of a European escape type vibe. There are new sculptural pieces and garden spaces, new and more day beds and chase lounges to give it a bit of a clubby feeling, and 10 new premium poolside cabanas, some of which feature private pools. The poolside cocktail menu has also been revamped, spurred by the Venetian and Palazzo's cocktail collective venues inside the casinos, and different celebration packages are available with cabana rentals for group events. Shifting over to showbiz, a very interesting and kind of unforeseen entertainment development. Frank Marino, who has headlined on the Strip for decades in La Cage at the Riviera and Divas Las Vegas at the Link, is joining the cast of Legends in Concert for a special engagement starting September 11th through November 19th at the Tropicana. He's going to resume his legendary portrayal of Joan Rivers, hosting the long-running celebrity impersonation show at the Trop. But Marino is retiring the character with this performance. So ever since he closed Divas last year, there's been a lot of talk of him resurrecting that show at another property. There were some pretty hot recent rumors that Frank Marino would be heading to the renovating Sahara Las Vegas, a.k.a. the SLS, on the north end of the Strip. And maybe that's what's going to ultimately happen. But whatever he does next, it will not include Joan Rivers. So it's time to go back to Legends and see his Joan for the very last time. The current cast of the show includes homages to Freddie Mercury, Lady Gaga, Pat Benatar, and Elvis Presley. And definitely stay tuned to LasVegasSun.com because I've been trading messages with Frank this week, and I'm going to have an interview to share with you very soon. Cirque du Soleil's landmark Bellagio show, O, is shifting to a 7-nights-a-week schedule for the very first time. O made its debut when Bellagio first opened back in 1998, and now it's adding Monday and Tuesday performances in January. And tickets for those shows are already on sale. This is pretty incredible because O is a huge show with a huge cast, and they're certainly going to be adding to the cast to make this a reality in the new year. Cirque is, of course, getting ready to launch a new show, Run, at Luxor this fall. And I guess that's another persistent Vegas rumor, that Cirque shows aren't selling tickets like they used to. Well, certainly O is seeing more demand than ever, or else it wouldn't be able to expand the schedule like it is. Foreigner, the rock band known for hits like Cold as Ice, Hot Blooded, Feels Like the First Time, and Urgent, is setting up something of a residency at The Venetian. This is a Live Nation show at the Venetian Theater. 10 dates have already been announced, opening January 24th, and tickets are on sale this Friday. The rock band residency thing is growing pretty quickly, and I'm actually going to talk all about it on TV this week. If you're in Vegas, check out Channel 8 Thursday night. I'm going to be talking about Def Leppard, which opens next week at Planet Hollywood, and exploring where this rock band trend is going on the Strip. One of the longer-running residency acts on the Strip has signed on for year 8. Carlos Santana already has plenty of fall dates at the House of Blues at Mandalay Bay, and now he's adding plenty more in 2020 in January, February, and May. Tickets for those new shows also go on sale this Friday, and as always, a portion of each ticket to Santana's House of Blues show will go to the Milagro Foundation and the Music Forward Foundation, supporting kids and arts education. So I got the chance 2 years ago to meet and interview the actress and style icon Sarah Jessica Parker at her Bellagio boutique, and she's back on the Strip this week, so you can meet her too. On Sunday at 3:30 p.m. and Monday at 11 a.m., she'll be at her SJP store at Bellagio, and then on Sunday at 6 p.m., she'll be at Terrine at Aria, where her shoes and bags and other accessories are also available. These events are free and open to the public. All right, I got some food news for you. Crack Shack, a fried chicken joint from Top Chef alum Richard Blaze, officially opens its first Las Vegas location at Park MGM this weekend on Sunday. It's the first Crack Shack outside of California and the 6th restaurant overall for the brand, and it's probably the last new restaurant to open at Park MGM. The resort also has the Mama Rabbit Mezcal Bar debuting this month. I'm going to go check out Crack Shack this week before it opens, hopefully talk to Richard Blaze and have a story for you on Sunday at LasVegasSun.com. There's a couple of very special dinner events coming up in casino restaurants too. Vegan's Baby, which is a local vegan food and cultural resource, recently put on a Vegas dinner at the James Beard House in New York City, featuring a few local chefs, and it was so successful that they're doing it all over again, this time in Las Vegas. It's happening August 21st at Ketch Restaurant at Aria. Tickets are $140 and can be purchased on Eventbrite. And over at the Palms, acclaimed off-strip chef James Trees of Esther's Kitchen downtown and Ada's at Tivoli Village is visiting Vetri Cucina and teaming with superstar chef Mark Vetri for a 4-course collaborative dinner on August 20th. Tickets for this one are $100, and you can get them by calling the restaurant Vetri Cucina at the Palms. What is taking over the Strip this week? So if you combine the approximately 22,000 attendees coming to Vegas for the DEF CON Hacking Conference at Bally's Thursday through Sunday, with the 10,000 people, give or take a few, that have been here since Saturday and are wrapping up Thursday with the Black Hat Tech Web USA conference at Mandalay Bay, that is a whole lot of internet security folks moving around the Strip this week. So that's the winner, but also basketball. The Las Vegas Aces have home games Friday, Sunday, and Tuesday at Mandalay Bay Event Center, and the annual USA Basketball Men's Team Vegas Exhibition game is set for Friday night at T-Mobile Arena. That one's actually an intra-squad scrimmage, and it starts at 7 p.m. My one big show this week is Lionel Richie's return to the Strip. He closed out a pretty successful multi-year residency at Planet Hollywood Zappos Theater last year. It was a strong show, but I felt the music got a little lost in that big room, and it was less splashy and a smaller production than the other pop star residencies at Zappos Theater. Now he's playing two nights, Friday and Saturday, at the much smaller and better sounding Encore Theater at Wynn Las Vegas. This seems like a great fit. I wouldn't be surprised to see Lionel Richie back at Wynn for more dates later this year. That's going to do it for this episode of The Sun on the Strip. Don't forget, you can listen to this podcast at Apple Podcasts or at lasvegassun.com/podcasts. That's also the site that you want to go to catch up with all those sports podcasts the Las Vegas Sun is putting together, including the Prep Sports Now podcast that I talked about with Ray earlier in the show. Thank you so much for listening. Catch you next week.